1, 2, 3.
Welcome to Three Song Stories, where the podcast that generates biography using musical memories. We take sonic experiences buried in the brain and bring forth our guests' personalities and personal histories. Thanks for listening. I'm Mike Canary. My guest today is Kate Scales. She's a recent addition to the Southwest Florida music scene, but one that's pretty much taken it by storm. Born and raised in a small town called Lititz, Pennsylvania, about an hour and a half outside of Philadelphia, Kate has a bachelor's degree in theater arts from Kutztown University, which is a tiny farming town about an hour down the road from Lititz. She went on to live in Philly for a few years after graduating, working in theaters before moving to Florida in 2015. She started pursuing a career in music full-time in the summer of 2017 and released her first EP called Ready For Me in April of this year. And she's been writing new tunes and hopes to be back in the studio before the end of the year. I met Kate recently when she performed on Gulf Coast Live, the making of which is my day job, but this will be our first chat. Let's go. Hey there, Kate. Nice to see you again or meet you or whichever it is.
Hi, Mike. Yes, I'm glad to be back.
Where is your earliest musical memory? What is it?
Singing Love Shack on the back porch into one of those plastic echo mics, like a kid's toy for all my parents' friends and my parents.
How were you exposed to Love Shack?
My father and mother, for sure. Oh, super musical household. My dad was a DJ.
Okay.
So that helped too.
What was being played around the house? How was music, like what was the musical background of your childhood?
Beatles, Bruce Springsteen, even though I don't really dig Bruce, but that's okay. A lot of Bruce. My mom loves Bruce. Joe Jackson. My father's a huge Joe Jackson fan. And then Ani DiFranco too, as I got older. Yeah, Ani DiFranco.
Was there a divergence between your folks' musical stylings?
Yes. I think they both enjoyed each other's genres. But yeah, I would say like my mom was more of like a Joni Mitchell type, where my dad was on the other hand like, you know, maybe, let's see. Well, Beatles, I already said. But Sorry.
That's okay.
Thank God we can edit this.
Yeah, well, we're not editing that. Was there some hippie in your folks? You were on the East Coast.
Not really hippies. My parents were just very open-minded folks. They were friends with everyone, any type of person. I was raised in a really open household. But they weren't hippies. They were just cool people, just really cool, open-minded folks.
What was the music? How was the music being played around your house?
Oh, parties. So, you know, my parents always were entertaining. My mom, major entertainer, always having people over, cooking food. So, you know, always, rather than the TV, no, there wouldn't be a TV on. It was always music being played through our little stereo in this old apartment in Lancaster City, I can remember. And then we moved to Lititz and we got like a cool entertainment center. And I remember even like in that house getting my first boombox and like being able to take my music into my own room.
Uh-huh.
That was a pretty big deal. That was a huge deal.
What was the first music that you owned that you could play in that boombox?
No Doubt, Tragic Kingdom.
Okay.
Yeah.
No Doubt still part of your selections today?
Yes. Yes. Huge inspiration for me too.
When did you start making music or learning to play music? Or where did that start now that you're a full-time pursuing career musician, where did it start?
So I would say that I probably started with choir singing. Singing definitely came first. Choir in school, choir in church. And then I tried to play the cello for 2 years. Didn't go great. I get frustrated easily. When I can't master something immediately, I want nothing to do with it. I've grown out of that a little bit as I've gotten older.
I was going to call you out on that.
I've grown out of that, but as a child, I got so frustrated so quick. So that happened with cello, that happened with piano, and then a couple years later, I started picking up the guitar and stuck with that for a couple of years. Did open mics as a kid when I was like 14, 15 years old. Had a band in high school. It was a little duo band.
What were they called?
That was the Cat's Pajamas.
The Cat's Pajamas.
Nice. Yeah. And then I kind of put the guitar down as I pursued my theater career in college and didn't really pick the guitar back up until last year when I started writing music and I figured out, like, I can't just sing into my phone. I need to be able to accompany myself.
When you were doing choir as a young child, were you naturally gifted at singing? You know, could you keep it on the rails even as a kid?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that's what I'm really lucky to have such a good ear. I have an excellent ear. So I'm one of those people who I can't really read music, but I can hear it perfectly and find it on a guitar. Like, I'll sing a note and then I find it. That's how I write music, and that's kind of how I learn as well. So
what was the first song that you wrote?
Snakeskin Mama.
I think I know that from Gold Coast Live.
You know that song. You know, there's funny, I came across an old guitar book, and there was this, I want to say it was a poem, but there was a song in it that I do slightly remember having chords to as a kid, but it doesn't count. That doesn't count.
How often did you go into Philly as a kid?
Pretty often, because that's where all of the concerts were. You know, that's where all the big shows came. Mm-hmm. You know, the big shows coming to town. It's in Philly. So my parents would take me to the Tower Theater, the Keswick Theater. I've been to, then of course, you know, the stadiums, they've all changed names. Wells Fargo Center is now whatever center.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
you know, yeah, I was lucky to be able to go and see big shows. My parents always took me to see shows.
So they exposed you to the whole deal.
Yeah, I mean, I was seeing like Fleetwood Mac on their like reunion tour as a kid. You know, it's stuff like that. I've seen Van Halen. It was loud. I remember I was like a little young for that. I came home with such a headache. I was like, what has just happened to me? But yeah, I'm very, very lucky. My parents took me to see shows all the time.
Can you remember the first time that you got to go to Philly with your friends with Freedom, you know, at the wheel?
Yes.
Folksless.
Yes. Yes, I do. I was like 14 years old, and they took us to my mom. God bless her. Dropped us off at the Trocadero Theater in Philadelphia. And I'm pretty sure one of the other girls that I was with, her father was then the one who waited and took us home that evening. We saw four different bands. Three of them escaped my mind, but the one band that we were there to see was the Ataris, punk rock, or so I thought.
So you 14 in Philly, seeing
the Ataris.
So you thought.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
does that mean?
I don't know. Like, when I listen to them now, like, I guess they're punk rock, but
I don't
know
the Ataris, so I don't. Yeah,
it's fine.
Me.
It's fine. Don't worry about that.
So you went to school. You lived in a small town. You went to school in an even smaller town, mm-hmm. or about the same size town.
About
what was your
size.
College experience like? And what was your groove when it came to theater? Were you front stage? Were you backstage? Were you both?
Well, what was nice about this program at Kutztown is it was both. So you would audition for roles. If you didn't get cast, then you need to turn around and you're going to be on crew somehow. So you're either going to do run crew or lighting or sound or whatever it be. So I was mostly on the stage, of course. We did two main stage shows every semester. So I would usually be on the stage for one, backstage for the other. And that's typically how it went. And then the second semester, same thing. I would either be in one or whatever. So it was nice. I got to do a lot.
Favorite show you ever did? Favorite role you ever had?
I would say Audrey in Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Was that like your plan? Like, I'm going to be on Broadway?
Yeah. And we're about to get
it's not
serious.
Too late.
No, we're about to get super serious right
serious.
Now. Okay, so here's what happened. So I'm in college, right? Like, trudging forward. I'm going to be on Broadway. I'm going to be this big dancing, singing star, triple threat. Watch me go. And then I fall asleep at the wheel on my way to my job as a 21-year-old kid, and I'm in a wheelchair for like 5 months, and it just totally derails my entire life. And that's what happened. So
wow.
I know. So it's not.
It seems like it turned out okay.
Yeah. And that's why I feel like I may have like too lightly talked about that, but it's such a part of my past now that it was like 9 years ago. That was 9 years ago. And it held me back. All this time,
yeah,
I was
just
scared.
Really just,
I'm like, oh, but I can't. Well, you know
so
what?
So it affected your psyche, your personality.
Completely. It was like, oh, well, I can't wear high heels anymore. And all the girls on Broadway, they wear high heels and I can't do, you know. And it was just this like this terrible cycle where I was just like burying myself in my own misery. Like, you're not ever going to be good enough. And that's.
And now you're the
and
phoenix.
And now look, and I rose from the ashes.
So let's now pivot to your first song.
Yeah, okay.
Ben Folds 5.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you want to tell the story?
Let's tell the story afterwards.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we're going to play it right now. This is Fair, correct?
Yes.
By Ben Folds 5 from their 1997 album, Whatever and Ever Amen. You're listening to Three Song Stories.
Bye.
I think you win so far for having fun during the song.
That's just one of those tunes. Oh, man.
So story, connected to a story.
Okay, so this whole record, number one, one of my favorites of all time, but this song in particular, the sarcasm and like the dark story that's hidden within these happy notes blew my mind as a kid. And this song was like about like, I don't know, for me, it's like cynical love. And when I started like dating boys and like thinking I knew what love was about when I was like, you know, a little teenager, like middle school, high school, anytime, you know, like we would break up or whatever, this was my song. Like I would come back and just be like, let me blast Ben Folds Fair just over and over. You know, like this was like my comfort song. Like, well, you know what? I don't need you anyway, you know. But the second verse in this song, the lyrics are so sad. And like for some reason, they echo in my brain still to this day. Ben Folds is incredible.
Remind us of the lyrics.
The lyrics are, did you get my other letters? Sometimes I think I ought to call because, you know, I often wonder if you open them at all. And every couple nights or so you pop into my dreams. I just can't get rid of you like you got rid of me. And to like when I'm, oh, my gosh. Oh, he knows me. Like, you know, as a kid, like you hear that and you're like, wow.
And leave it to Ben Folds to hide stuff like that in songs that sound like that.
Right. What a line. What a lyric. Yeah. Ugh.
Have you seen him live?
No.
No?
Ugh, no.
How?
I don't know. I don't want to talk about it.
That's what we're here for, though.
Well, the other two I have seen live, so.
Well, I saw him live once, and I just have to tell a story real quick.
Please.
It was at Bonnaroo in 2008. I went with my now ex-wife, my daughter's mother, and my daughter, who was three at the time.
Nice.
And we're in a crowd of 20,000 people, and Ben Folds comes out, and he makes the entire audience flip him off so he can take a picture from stage. So somewhere out there, there's a picture of me and my daughter and Sam going.
That is excellent. I love that.
Yeah. What was the first music that you owned yourself?
I think it was No Doubt.
It was No Doubt?
I'm trying to think. I mean, if we want to go way back, like I had this tape called Free to Be You and Me.
Oh, wow.
Do you know what Free to Be You and Me is? Do you guys know what that is?
Yeah,
it was way back in the day. And it,
that's
it
like
teaches
chicken
you,
soup with rice.
Yeah,
Richard,
it teaches you to be like
back.
A good person. Like, do you ever, it was like.
Is that like, is that connected to like Up with People?
I'm not sure. But there were like little mini.
I'm looking at Richard like he must know.
Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Free to Be You? Like the mini stories where it was like, you know, I don't know, like as a child,
inspirational.
Like, yeah, they were like stories that like were like culturally different than what I was used to. And like it would really, it familiarized me with like other worlds that I didn't know about, you know, and it was like, it was, I don't know, it's a really cool little tape.
Mixtapes?
Yeah. Well, when I, it was burned.
Mixed CDs?
Like burned. Yeah,
yeah,
like
mixed CDs.
Yeah.
Was that a thing? Was
oh, yeah.
That making them, receiving them?
Oh, my gosh.
Where did you fall into
those
that?
Those were like love
point?
Letters. Oh, yeah. Those were like love letters for me. So, like, if I made a boy a mixed CD, that was a deal. Like, hey, listen, these songs remind me of you. I think you would like them.
Do you remember ever handing one over and, you know, knocking someone's socks off with it or. You know,
all of them.
Each and every time.
No, I was such a dork. Oh no, I was such a dork. Like normally, like it would be like it would be an afterthought. Like I would already be like dating the boy, and
gotcha.
So it was like I really like you, and now I never use that as bait.
Okay, used it as affirmation.
Yes, it was affirmation. Hey man, I really dig you. Here's these songs I like.
So, what brought you to Florida?
Oh, Tyler, my husband.
Okay.
Yeah, he got a job with Gartner. Yeah, he'd been working for IBM. And
in Philly?
Philly.
Okay.
So in Philly. And, you know, it's cold up there. And Florida came calling and we were like, that'd be cool. And he landed the job and we've been here since.
Did you like come down and scout the place out or did you just say we're going?
We did. It was very secretive too because it was before we got married and we weren't sure like – we didn't really want to tell everyone, so we came down here, I think in like March. We both have a birthday within the same week, so I feel like we disguised it as like, oh, it's just a little weekend trip to Florida. We found a cheap flight, and that's kind of like how we veiled it and came down, checked out. Fort Myers, Cape Coral, Fort Myers Beach.
What were your first impressions?
Oh, God. We were in Cape Coral first, and I was just like, wow, it's hot, and everything's, like, beige.
Yeah, and like, none of the trees are older than 25
like,
years.
What's going on? oddly enough, we ended up living in Cape Coral for the first 2 years we were here just because we had to rent, like, sight unseen. Like, I had to just find this listing, and luckily a friend that we had down here went and looked at it for us. But, yeah, I mean, I loved Fort Myers. I loved the Fort Myers beach. And at that point, this is a totally other topic, but the water was the clearest water I've ever seen in my whole life. When we came down here in 2015, I was like, I can't believe this is just the regular beach. This is incredible. So it made it easy to come down here.
So where did you guys settle now? I mean, where?
Now we're in downtown Fort Myers.
Oh,
it's so nice.
Yeah,
it's so nice. We really love it. We live right on the river, walking distance to everything. We're like a block away from the Sydney
Burn.
You
want one of the towers?
I am in the little apartments next to the Burroughs home. I'm right by the Burroughs home.
Yeah, I'm right in there.
It's awesome.
I live down just past the Oasis Tower.
Oh, right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool.
So you decided, okay, I'm going to pursue my music full time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that moment? What
I
was the calculus? Do you remember like finally going, okay, I'm not thinking about it anymore. I'm doing it.
Yeah.
What was that like?
So I was having like existential crisis at work. I was just doing the barista thing. And I went to, this is funny, I went to Fort Rock and went to see specifically the Eagles of Death Metal. I had never seen them before. It's just strange, like with Ben Folds, like it just never happened. So we went to Fort Rock. Day one was great. Day two, that's when the Eagles were playing. Got to see them, ended up meeting them afterwards and meeting several other artists, and just being around them, being all around it, I was like smitten, and I was like, what am I doing? Like, this is so attainable. Like, the veil was almost lifted. I'm like, oh, they're normal people who are just touring around the country. Like, they're just musicians. They're just human beings. And it just kind of made it real for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really it. So,
were you playing music? Were you singing? Were you writing? Were you doing sort of
stuff?
No, that's
what's so funny.
So, you weren't even like,
I literally just buried it.
You weren't like a closet musician.
Not even a little. Not even a little. And, Mike, I have to tell you, like I really just buried all of my creative energy down deep. I kind of worked
saving it up,
I guess, and now it's exploding, and it's like really exciting. I don't know, it's really weird. I can't explain it.
When did the pink hair show up?
Oh, you know, I've had pink hair since I was a kid.
Okay, so that's not part of your musical persona.
I mean, I guess it is. We're going purple soon, by the way.
Thank you.
Pink is great, but I want to change it. I was gray before. It was like silver gray blue. Oh, I don't know.
Always short?
Yeah, always short. Now, it was longer. So, like, I did, my first time I went pink, I had very long hair. Pink hair for prom that year. It was pretty funny. Just, I was like that little, like, dorky punk rocker girl who thought she was really cool and, like, really rebellious.
So, how did you go from, I want to be a musician full time or, you know, really pursue this to pursuing it? Like, was that? Who did you find? How did you that happen?
It was Caleb Neff at Juniper Recording. Mm-hmm. So we were living, like I said, living in Cape Coral, and I literally Googled recording studios near me.
So you found him through Google.
And he was the closest, but also
turned out pretty good.
He looked the coolest. Yeah, he was like, so he was like less than a mile away from where we were living. And he had, I don't know, it was just everything about it, just like all signs pointed to this dude. And it was like one of those universe things where I was like, I don't know. So I sent him an email. I'm like, hey, man, listen, I kind of want to make some tracks, like just covers. Like, I don't have anything written. I'd like to get some studio experience. Like, would you be down? He ends up calling me like after 9 o'clock. And I'm like, okay, all right. I like this guy already. Like, just doesn't even care. He's into it as much as I am. And he was so receptive, and like our relationship just kind of blossomed then. I was in there, I think, probably the next week. We docked 4 tunes out of the park. Then that helped me get a position with like a party band. Is this band called Tropical Ave, and they do most of their stuff up in like the Englewood area. So those tracks got me right in the door with that band, which was excellent. So I got a ton of stage experience with a band, which I had never done before. I had done acoustic.
What was that first show like?
That was terrifying. Oh my goodness. But it was, luckily it was just at this like little bar.
Were you timid?
And I had like if you would see pictures from that day, and it's not even a year ago, it's so funny. Like I have like this.
So that's not even a year ago?
No.
Wow.
No, that was like September.
You've come a long way.
Thank you, Mike. I know. I don't have any time to waste. I am 30 years old. Oh my God. I gotta get cracking. So that was September. I was like this like little brown haired, like timid little babe. And then like 6 months later, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this for real. And for real, write some tunes. Sorry, let me back up though. I had been writing since July. So I had started writing last July after I had made those four tracks, got my confidence, got in that band. We rehearsed for like a month and then I took off with them. But then throughout this whole time, I've been writing my own music, and then we recorded in January of this year. So
and
that's kind of
And your
timeline.
EP is called what again?
Ready For Me.
And it's how many tracks?
Six.
And people can find it where?
Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, YouTube.
You got it on vinyl?
Ah, I wish.
Not yet.
And I do have like real actual hard copy CDs too.
Oh,
you can
old
buy those
school.
On my store online. KateScales.com.
Next song.
Yeah.
What is it?
It is Little Sister by Queens of the Stone Age.
Would you like to tell a story?
Yeah, I think I will. Just because this, so I'm a huge Queens of the Stone Age fan. Joshua Homme is a little bit of a rock star, a little rock star persona. He's not had the greatest positive position in the media lately, but I don't know. I still love him. And this tune, I've seen them five times. They've played it every single time I've seen them. It's amazing every time. This song was a ringtone when it was polyphonic before we even had real ringtones.
Right. Beep, boop, boop.
And I chose it because there is a story. So the last time we went to see Queens was, darn it, I don't know, a couple months ago. I was so sick. I was not even trying to get out of bed. Tyler gets home from work. He's like, get up, drink some water. I don't care. We're going. You're going to regret it. You're going to regret it. So I was furious, like stewing in the car the whole way, like two hours.
Screw you for making me go see.
Yeah, like 2 hours, 20 minutes. I'm like, it's hot.
Wait, like Tampa?
I'm sick. No, it was Miami.
The other 2 hours.
Yeah, the other one. So we get there and I'm just like still like harumph, grumbles, you know. But it's lawn seating and it's a small venue. So, okay, we're winning. I'm like, great, I have a blanket. I'm just going to like lay it down. I get comfy and it ends up being literally the best show I've ever seen them play. So I don't want to leave. I do not want to leave.
Were you still feeling crappy?
Oh,
or did
horrible.
You,
but I pulled through. I just kept drinking water, just kept myself positive and just, you know. And again, like we were like in the far back, so there wasn't any like cigarette smoke or any, you know, it was nice. So we just chilled. So at this point, I like really have to like use the restroom. And like we're good like halfway through the show at this point. And I'm like, babe, I'm going to go. I'm just going to risk it. Like, I can't remember what song was ending. I'm like, I'm going to risk it. I'm going to just fly over there. I'll see you in a second. He's like, okay, cool. So I start going, running. Thank God they're taking like a bit of a good break in the middle of like songs. And like this tune starts like very specifically with like this like cowbell sound. And I hear that 1, 2, 3, 4. And I have never stopped so fast in my tracks, and I like it was like I hit a brick wall, and I like immediately stop and I like scream like, you know, GD. And as I do it, like there's this gentleman like right here, like on my left hand side, who sees this whole process happen, and he laughed so hard at me, but was like, yeah, girl, I get it. Get there. Get back to your seat. You know what I mean? So like that's how much this tune means to me. Like I have bronchitis. I'm like running to a bathroom. Running, which again I don't do anyways, and this tune comes on, and that's how much I love Queens. I flip around, get back to Tyler as quick as possible, and it was so cute. You know, he's like, "Oh, I'm so glad you came back. I knew you were going to be so upset." So sorry,
you
rambly.
Didn't pee your pants or anything.
I didn't, because then the next song they played was Sick, 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 and I hate that song.
Oh,
I,
perfect.
So perfect. So I was like, "Oh, thank the Lord!" And then I was able to.
What was the venue?
The Bayside. Bayside Arena. It's this really cool like open venue right on the water.
Okay, we're gonna imagine that as
so
we
imagine
listen
that.
To this is Little Sister by Queens of the Stone Age from their 2005 album Lullabies to Paralyze.
Yeah.
know, the cool thing is because of the way music and memory works and what we're tapping into here, like next time you see them live, you're going to think of that story. And from now on, whenever we hear this song, we're going to think of that story.
Yes. And then I'll think of this time too. And just, you know.
I know. It's crazy how
amazing.
That works. Richard was in New York City for a family vacation with his wife, and he sends me a message as a text of a selfie of himself video, like, can you hear the music in the background? And it was Bob's first song, Bob Grissinger's first song.
Oh, yes.
Which Richard didn't even recognize from being out in the wild. He like heard it and he was at this place like a noodle house in New York City and he's like, I recognize this song from
so
this
awesome.
Show. So that's all
it was
of
Marvin
it.
Gaye, right? Yeah.
Nice. What bands or musicians most inspire you?
Okay, so Queens of the Stone Age.
I thought maybe so.
That's a huge reason why I also chose this tune. This has just been like one of my top favorites of theirs, you know, forever. But Queens is a huge inspiration for me just because his guitar riffs are so strange, and the melodies that he sings are so haunting. Mm-hmm. So love him. And vocally, Lady Gaga is a huge inspiration for me. And I listened to a lot of her when I was recovering mm-hmm. back in 2009. I know this is so goofy, but the song Just Dance, like that was like, that kept me sane. I know that's really funny, but it's like sometimes you just need some pop music to make you feel better. You know what I mean?
We are judgment free here.
I know that I've talked about No Doubt 100 times, but No Doubt is a huge inspiration for me. The Beatles. I love how Beatles can write. They wrote like four songs in one. You know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah. No, it's like.
It's just like their process is like, it just blows me away. I'm like, and also the small amount of time, like how they grew from like A to B, like when they first started to where they were, like. It just does make sense.
And they were using just such rudimentary tools to put it all together that to hear it now is just you guys came, somebody beamed you in from another planet or something.
Exactly. And I just, it makes it feel like I can do it too.
Exactly. Well, amen to that.
Yeah.
How much music do you listen to around the house and how do you listen to it?
Vinyl. We have a lot. Tyler and I have a large vinyl collection. And I have maybe a mild addiction to it as well because now that I live a block
right
and a half away from
Joe's,
I'm there like almost.
You're a regular at Joe's.
Oh, man. What a great dude. So vinyl really, I mean, and then, you know, on my phone, I stream a lot of local music on Spotify and iTunes.
Do you have like Bluetooth speakers around the house?
We do.
We do. Are you streaming vinyl to that or are
no,
you?
No, that we have like a stereo. It's very old school.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's an old Stanton. It's a nice little setup.
Do you have a go-to Pandora channel? Do you use Pandora?
Honestly, yeah, I do use Pandora. It's kind of a cheat because I like, you know how that you can like make your own channel a little bit after a certain point. But normally I will plug in like 90s anything, hip hop to alt, you know, whatever, alt rock. And I love funk. Man, James Brown Radio is one of the best stations on Pandora. So,
I was going to ask you, when was the last time you bought music that had a physical form? But I know you do. So what was the last music you bought that had physical
this
form?
This needs to stop. I just bought No Doubt Tragic Kingdom on vinyl. Okay, so
right. Now I'm going to try to think of three or four different ways
I'm
to
so
get No
sorry.
Doubt out of your mouth.
Oh, my God. So that and then also Alice in Chains Unplugged.
Okay.
Oh, that's such a good
Do you have any album? I think I know the answer to this. Do you have any albums that you will always listen to all the way through without even skipping a track?
I'm not going
to
say it. I'm not even going to say it. It might be one of them. Lullabies to Paralyze, great, great record. As well as Rated R. That's another one of the Queens of the Stone Age records that I listen to top to bottom. And this is a newer album, but I don't know if you've heard Humans by the Gorillaz.
I know. I'm familiar with Gorillaz, but
it's
not.
It's like 29 tracks.
Really?
It's
29 like bona fide
tracks?
I
mean, now, like, no. Like, it'll be like a 30 second here.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, they have these bizarre little, like, song
like
fillers.
Interludes.
Like, yeah, they're really, it's a really cool, and there are easily over 10 different featured artists on that. really, really cool. So that you listen to because it's fluid. Like I can't, you can't really skip around because they have those little middle tracks that kind of like glue the songs together, you know? So I've been really into that lately.
And we might be right back to where we started here, but let's talk about songs or bands that almost made it onto your list of three. What would be your fourth? Was there a fourth that you had to kick off the island right at the end?
Well, I wanted to do Spirit in the Sky by Norman Greenbaum. Mm. Why I didn't do it is because that was my first dance. That was our wedding song.
Oh, and you abided by the bylaw.
Because there wasn't a special story. That's just a great tune. I guess it's weird that that's a wedding song, but I think...
Yeah, that is pretty neat for wedding songs. We
just couldn't decide on one, and I was like, babe, that's our tune. Like, I know it has nothing to do with love or whatever, but like, that's our tune.
How did it become your tune?
It was one of those songs that I always had on my iPod, throwback, that Tyler and I were driving around. Because when we lived in Kutztown together, our apartment was very far off campus. It was a good, like, 15 minutes. And that was one of those tunes that, like, we would put on, get in the car, put on, and then drive home. And, like, that was such a good driving song.
Yeah, it's got, like, momentum.
Yeah. It's an excellent song. So made it nice and pretty in the back roads.
So what would be your other fourth song minus your wedding song?
Slippery People by the Talking Heads.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, off of Stop Making Sense.
What's the 30-second version of that story?
Oh, just that I kind of another thing, like bouncing around the back roads of Kutztown, listening to music in cars. Stop Making Sense, that was my first introduction to the Talking Heads. And I was like, where have I been? I felt so like I only knew Burning Down the House. Like, and right. I don't like that song. I'm sorry. I don't. So I never really gave them a chance until somebody popped in Stop Making Sense. And I was like, what is wrong with me?
Have you seen the movie?
Yes. And so then I saw the movie and I was like hooked for life. And Slippery People, the reason I love that song so much is the energy in that song in the movie is like, oh, I felt like I was right there. Goosebumps.
I have to see that again. It's been too long. What was your first concert? You mentioned that you got to see a lot of concerts when you were a kid. Do you remember which one was first?
My first was, I want to say, the Lilith Fair. Do you know what that is? It was back in the 90s.
Yeah,
it's like a girl power festival,
yeah. Right? You know, I'm trying to think.
Like Indigo Girls.
Indigo Girls,
and like
that's who I was looking for.
It was Sarah McLachlan's festival. So I saw like Cheryl Crow.
In the arms of the angels.
Oh, stop. You're going to make me think of all the dogs that need to be adopted
now. I don't
even
know why I said that, but it came out.
Now I'm crying. Great. so yeah, it was like Sarah McLachlan, Sean Colvin, Cheryl Crow.
Like those ladies,
those strong female warriors. Like those, I think that was the first show I'd ever seen. Indigo Girls and then Ani DeFranco. So like my parents, like again, like that was something they really clicked on, was like folk, angry lady folk.
Social justice folk.
Yes. Which I'm glad I was exposed to.
Yeah. Craziest concert experience.
Who? Crazy how?
I don't know. You define crazy.
Craziest concert experience was probably when I saw Paul McCartney live. We scored tickets from a friend who had a friend who could get us these seats on the field. So it was
shady.
It was so shady, but also we were in, so whatever.
It worked.
No, it's a guy that works for Tate Towers, which is a company that like designs stages for big acts, so blah, blah, blah. So we get in and the seats are on the field at Yankee Stadium. Ridiculous. And we ended up, not only was it an incredible show, we ended up meeting like a bunch of celebrities that night, and I had never met famous people before, and they were all really nice. It was Kiefer Sutherland.
Wow.
And Ryan Gosling, which actually that just popped up, a picture of him and I just popped up on my Facebook the other day. It's so cute. Emma Stone was there. Jason Sudeikis, Aziz Ansari. It was like
and
really
met, like talked to them.
Like they were normal, real people. And like that, it was just so bizarre. Like I've never gotten into like a fight at a show. Like I've not, you know what I mean? Like
I'm not necessarily
calm.
Looking for like, you know, when you took too much acid, like Stick Martin did. You'll hear that one later.
Oh yeah. I think that's probably it. That was just so bizarre. Maybe when I saw Lady Gaga for the first time, and before the show started, she had these like really bizarre videos playing of her getting like vomited on. I've never felt so uncomfortable.
Like legit video of her.
It was a woman like vomiting like paint onto her. Like it was this really strange like art piece that Gaga was doing. It wasn't bile.
Okay, yeah.
No, it was like paint, but still it was like, wow, what am I seeing right now? That really was like bizarre. That was in like 2010 or 11 maybe.
What was the farthest you've ever traveled for a concert?
California. We just did it. So,
So
Queens of the Stone Age and the Eagles of Death Metal, they're kind of intertwined. Josh, who is the frontman for Queens, plays drums and writes with Jesse in the Eagles of Death Metal. They never play together, and they were playing a couple of shows over in California earlier this year in January, and I saw these tickets. They were ridiculously cheap, and I found fair flights.
Right.
And I just bought it all. I was like, hey, babe, we're going. Sorry, I love you. But it's great because then we got to check out like Los Angeles and see
first
all of that.
First time out there on the coast?
Yeah. It was. Well, I've been to Palm Springs before, but I've
but
never
not
been
LA.
To No. Never been to L.A., so we went to L.A., Santa Monica, did all the cool stuff.
What's your what was your take on LA? That just that whole there's a very it's got a flavor.
Oh, it's a flavor.
Yeah.
All right. I love it. I loved it. Yeah. I would say that I was only there for 36 hours, so I really can't give you a full
first impressions
First impressions, I loved it. I'm a city person for sure. Loved Philadelphia and I miss it terribly. LA just seems really, really cool. I really dig the scenery as well. I love that I'm in a city, but also mountains right there.
Oh,
it's really cool.
And the ocean's right over there.
And the
desert's right over there.
I know. And then if I want to go skiing, I can too.
Like, yeah.
What a crazy state.
No, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Okay, we're moving on to song three.
Sounds good. Let's listen to it.
Let's listen to it?
I think so.
Okay. This is, you've referred to this woman several times. Mm-hmm. This is Diamond Heart by Lady Gaga.
Young wild American, looking to be something. Out of school, go in for a hundred or two. Some asshole broke me in, wrecked all my innocence. I'll just keep go-going, and this dance is on you.
Oh,
I think the story with this tune is just this was another one of the reasons why I wanted to start making music. So this album came out and
recently.
Yeah. And it was so, I think 2016, like right at the tail end. And it was so different from anything I had heard her do. And it was like, what is this, a rock country album? Like, what is going on? And every song is just so cool. This first track really spoke to me, just the content and the lyrics. It's about, you know, her trying to make it big and get past the jerks in the industry and blah, 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 you know. And so I relate to it on that. I mean, I'm not like trying to, I don't know, you know, I relate to it on that level where like people suck sometimes and like you're just trying to do your thing and like just trying to like make your music and like not listen to what people say or like try to like, you know, sexualize you or whatever. But, you know, so I relate to it on that level a little bit. And I was looking in the liner notes of this album and who do you think wrote this song with her?
The No Doubt chick.
No, it's Joshua Homme from Queens of the Stone Age. So I listened to this record like through and through and through and through.
So he
and I'm coming back to this song. Yes, and so, but I had no idea. So I keep coming back to this tune, and I'm like, you know, I think Diamond Heart is my favorite. It's so weird. I don't know why. I think Diamond Heart's my favorite song.
There's some synchronicity interesting. There.
And like I go and like so I look through, and here it is. Like Joshua Homme's like he wrote the tune with her, and it was just like, okay. Wow. Like, what is happening here? Like, there's just something about the universe bringing, like, my two favorites in the whole world together to make this tune. Like, this is just very special for me. And it's, like, a motivator. Like, how cool is it that I want to work with them? I'm going to write a song with the two of them. That's my goal. You know what I mean? Like, that's how this song makes me feel. And then also, when we saw her, the last time I saw her, it would be my third time, was back last year in Tampa. Yeah. And this is what she opened with. And I bawled like a baby. I bawled. Like, I don't know what happened. I just didn't expect that this tune would be the one that she opened with. Like, I figured she would have gone
with. A little
bit
more magic on top of the magic,
so,
right?
Yeah. Oh. You know, so there's, it's just so magical. She opens with this tune. And this was, like, kind of in the process where I'm starting to write. I'm starting to, like, feel good. Like, you know, wow, I think my music career thing is going to happen. So she plays this tune, makes me feel even more connected to her. And then later in the evening when she sang Edge of Glory, which is one of the songs that I did with Caleb the first time around that I
was. Oh, when you
so
did your, like,
that
demo.
Was like my, like, let me sing a ballad. Here's how I can sing a ballad for you.
Yeah.
And I did this like really soft piano version of Edge of Glory. So that's what she does live. And it's just beautiful every time. So she does Edge of Glory live, knocks it out of the ballpark, and then sits there and proceeds to like tell us all in the stadium, like, if you have a light inside of you, you need to let it shine, you know. And I'm sure she gives this speech at every, I don't care, because it spoke to me. And again, so I'm weeping again, and she's just talking about, you know, let the light shine because somebody's bound to see it sometime, you know. And I just love her. She's just so wonderful.
Lydia Black on this show, one of her songs was This Little Light of Mine.
Aww.
Which has been her song since she was a kid, because that's what she tries to do in every moment.
Yeah.
And I've known Lydia for a long time. And as soon as I heard that, I'm like, and that makes such perfect sense.
So
now
beautiful.
I understand.
Yes.
Can I tell you my Lady Gaga story?
Please.
It's not really my story, but I, you know, I don't really listen to pop music at all.
That's okay.
You know, I mean, it, whatever. All I knew was she was like the meat dress chick.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I don't know how, but one night on YouTube, I found this video of her at like a talent show in college playing piano, and her name was Stephanie.
And she's got black hair.
Yeah, and I was just like, holy cow, who is this woman? So you're familiar with that video.
And that, yeah, I am.
That's where all of a sudden
it
reframed everything for me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I'm maybe not going to go out and buy her album, but I'm going to appreciate her.
See, and that's the thing. You've got to appreciate her. If you don't like what she does, what she wears, that's totally fine. I get it. I was able to see right through all of that immediately, because her songs are so hard to sing. She, like, in a way, taught me how to sing and breathe correctly. Like, I can hear that she does not take vocal breaks. Like, in these long phrases, and in Diamond Heart specifically, you hear that, and you're like, yeah, but she does it all in one breath, you know? And, like, I'll use her tunes to, like, train myself. Like, for, like, my tune, Daughter of the Devil, that's what I wail during that one. And there's this, like, huge roundup in it, and I have no room to take a breath, or it'll ruin it. You can't break that phrase. She taught me that.
I don't listen to pop music, and the other thing I don't do is watch football.
No, I don't either.
But I watched the halftime performance of hers. Have you heard the isolated vocals? Vocal track?
Of course I have. I have to tell you something.
I brought my daughter. I'm like, you got to listen to this, because that was my next, like, okay, holy cow.
No, she's unreal. I mean, she's like running around on that stage. She's in a harness. Like, she's playing a guitar. She's being picked up by one of her dancers, and her vocals are. Can I tell you something crazy?
Oh, yeah.
Are you guys ready? Are you ready for something crazy? I have a Lady Gaga tattoo.
Oh, wow.
That's how much I love her.
Is it like, what does it look like?
It's an American traditional portrait. It's an American traditional portrait.
What does that mean?
Of the cover of Joanne.
Oh, okay.
So it's her in the pink hat with some flowers around her, and it's on my shoulder. It's beautiful. It's very tastefully done. My brother did it for me.
So my other Lady Gaga story is just earlier today, I told Richard that Lady Gaga story, and he says, you have to watch this. Have you seen the trailer for the new movie?
Oh, my God, A Star is Born.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, I can't wait.
I can't either. She's just amazing. She is such an inspiration to me. Like, that's just, she just does what she wants, and she's really good at it all, and she's doing it the right way. I mean, as far as I can tell, I'm not.
And it's got Dave Chappelle and Andrew Dice Clay in
it. I know. And Bradley Cooper, he's really nice to look at, too.
Who is he? He's
from Silver Linings Playbook.
Kept trying to make him into other people.
American Sniper.
Mike, here's.
Rocket.
Yeah, he's Rocket. He's the raccoon in Guardians.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there we go. Thanks for bringing it back into my realm, Richard. I appreciate that. Okay, let's move on from Lady Gaga.
Amazing.
What's the most daring thing you've ever done because of music? Or maybe it's trying to become a full-time musician.
I would say, trying to do it myself is the most daring thing I've ever done for music. I don't think I've ever really... I'm so obedient. I'm so obedient. I'm really trying to, like, rack my brain. Like, when were you a little jerk? I mean, I definitely did not get backstage legally at Fort Rock. I'll tell you that much right now. I just kind of, like, slunk by.
I heard
the
if you
security.
Just carry a clipboard, you can go anywhere you want.
Honestly, I was like, hey, do you need anything? Like, and a friend of mine was like on the other side, and Danny, and he's like, oh no, yeah, just come on over. And like me and Tyler and Danny's wife, like, cause Danny got back and Danny just was like, yeah, these are my friends. And the guy was like, I don't care. Fine, whatever. And so we just like, I don't know if that's a good thing to be telling anyone. It was pretty daring.
Whatever. What's the band or musician that you've most recently discovered that has entered your circle of understanding?
Howlin' Wolf. He's an old blues
Howlin'
dude.
Wolf. Okay.
Yeah. Never knew him before, which is, you know, strange. I guess he was just buried in there. But man, oh man, wonderful. Yeah.
What is the album that you would choose if you only had one to listen to?
No Doubt, Tragic Kingdom. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, cripes. What album I would listen to if... wow, that is such a good question. Oh, my God. Probably Revolver by the Beatles.
That might be the second person who's
chosen. Are you serious?
That. Yeah, I think so.
We'll
wait till DP brings us the data.
If it's already chosen, then I choose Rubber Soul.
Okay. Can you recommend a band that you're a fan of that you don't think our listeners would know? And if you can, then compare them to maybe somebody they would know.
I would say, who have I been listening to lately that's weird? Well, I'm listening to a lot of local music right now, which is really cool. That's kind of flooding everything.
And I love that we have local music to listen to.
It's so wonderful.
It makes me happy.
I know. Honestly, like, a lot of people don't know who the Eagles of Death Metal are, and that name turns a lot of people away because they are the furthest thing from death metal. It's like rockabilly,
nor
rock
are
and
they
roll.
Eagles?
No, they're not the Eagles either. It's like this rockabilly, fast rock and roll, like really just really fun stuff to dance to and sing along to. And they are probably similar to, like, I don't know, Stray Cats, not as swingy, and like dirtier. if that makes sense. But like same energy, that high energy. So yeah.
Any chance you're going to ever do a cover of what was the your first song memory? You were singing Tin Roof, Love Shack.
Love Shack. So I actually did do that. Was one of the songs that we did with the party band.
Oh, okay.
And it was so cool for me. And thank God we did that on my first night, because once we got to that track, I was like, okay, Kate, you've been doing this since you were 3 years old. Like, would you just have fun? So I have covered that song and it is so fun.
Is there a song you will always turn off if it comes on the radio for whatever reason?
I will never listen to Black Velvet. I hate that song so much.
Why?
I just, ugh. It makes me like want to cry. It sounds like nails on a chalkboard. Like, it's just.
Come on, give us a little bit
more. No, because I can sing it. You know I can, but I will not.
So was there a point in time when you could listen to it then?
No, I just always hated that song. Like, it's one of those weird things where like it would just, I'm like, ugh. Hate this tune. It has nothing to do with anything. It's not like it was playing while I got like an F on a test. Like it's right. Like it's just I hate that song. Sucks.
is if you could choose any musician or band, alive or dead, and perform on stage with them, who would it be?
Jimi Hendrix. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to wail over that guitar. Man, oh man, that would be cool.
Well, that's it. Unless
cool.
You have any final thoughts.
No, this was wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Oh, this has been great. I really appreciate
it. Good. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
We create Three Song Stories in the WGCU studios on the campus of Florida Gulf Coast University in Fort Myers, Florida. The show is produced, directed, and co-created by Richard Chin Kui. Tara Callaghan is our online content producer. Chris Duffus is our executive producer. Our theme music was created by Dave Cowan and Stick Martin at Monkey House Studio in St. Pete. Hey, listeners, parting tunes, your song stories, we want them. Once you've got one, you want to share, just send it to mysongstory@wgcu.org and we'll do the rest. But this week, my parting tune takes me back to early June of this year in this studio. Kate Scales was performing live on Gulf Coast Live with Caleb Neff. They were doing a pared-down acoustic set. Richard was busy with something else that day, so I was running the board, live mixing their performances, which, while not something I'm completely unfamiliar with, it was something I hadn't done in a long time. As a matter of fact, I want to take this opportunity to apologize to Caleb for not getting his harmony mixed in the first time round. Anyway, this is Saw It Coming, performed live in the WGCU Talk Studio by Kate Scales and Caleb Neff. I'm Mike Canary. Keep listening.
Come and dance with me. Run your hands down my body. I think I got just what you need, but I want you to take the lead. Saw it coming, saw it coming. Saw it coming. No, I don't wanna go to sleep. One night just you and me. You know my love's not free, and I know what makes you weak. I saw it coming, saw it coming. Saw it coming, saw it coming. You have enough to eat. I know you think I taste so sweet. Oh, you were some mighty fine company, but I got my own life to keep. I saw it coming, saw it coming. Saw it coming, saw it coming. I know I
next time on Three Song Stories.
How much success did you have as a filmmaker before you finally went, thank goodness I didn't go to medical school?
Well, I went to see my dentist 2 weeks ago. I told him I was pre-med. And he said, you almost went to medical school. And then he tells everyone in the office, he almost went to medical school. Like, I was like, hey, can you believe this
guy? So you're
guy?
Still waiting for that moment is what you're saying.